So in Proverbs 31:30, it says, charm is deceptive, and beauty does not last. But a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. So there's your goal, girls. That people really see you as that example of someone who fears the Lord, who worships the Lord, who has offered herself up in fullness to that one true living God. Because you're the one that you're going to find yourself being praised. You'll be praised by your husbands. You'll be praised by others because of the tremendous blessing you are in the lives of these people that you touch. So I gave the following title to the morning's message. I'm hoping to complete it, but it actually might be a Mother's Day, two Mother's Day messages, but back to back. Mom, change your thoughts. Change your thoughts, change your mind. You see, Father God wants you to think His way. And if you think His way, you will find yourself most often changing your way of thinking and then acting. So as usual, I give you three essential questions to help bring the message to life. For God, the Holy Spirit, will use these things to speak directly in a solo way to you individually. Proverbs 4:23 is where I begin, and you see that in your notes. And here Solomon, under the inspiration of the wonderful Holy Spirit, he says, and again I'm addressing moms today, grandmothers, stepmothers, and aunts. But the word of God, as we know, is for everyone. So guys, as we listen in, this is just as appropriate for us. But the focus, where our focus goes?
Our energy flows.
So we're going to focus on our moms today and grandmoms and so forth. So Solomon said, keep your heart with all vigilance. Now, I don't know if everyone understands the term vigilance. It's not a term I often use. But he says, keep your heart with all vigilance. Mismar is the word in the Hebrew. And what he's saying here, mom, keep your heart. Keep alert. Keep attentive. Very attentive. This is like if you were someplace and someone started shouted out, red alert, red alert. So mom, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. For what we see here is a wellspring filled with your life actions, your thoughts. And that wellspring, if we put sin in it, then others are going to be touched in an improper way. They themselves may drink from it and find themselves committing the same sins. But it's our desire, and particularly yours this morning, girls, as you look at the wellspring of your life, to want to keep it pure, to keep it a sweet place for people to find themselves. In translation, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. For me, when I was being led of the Lord to begin putting this together, I was thinking way back to the time that I was a 16-year-old, turning 17, a senior in high school, and thinking about what am I going to do after high school. So I was thinking, should I join the United States Air Force or should I not? I mean, I was really kind of forced into the Air Force. Kelly's and my dad had been a Marine in World War II. So when I started talking about enlisting, he said, well, if it's the Marine Corps, Ronnie, I'm not signing for you. You had to be 18 to enlist by yourself. So I chose the Air Force. I took their test and miraculously passed it. Mom, you need to be on guard with regard to your heart and fill it. Fill it every day in your DPE, your deep personal experience with him. Fill it every day with him, his thoughts, the words that he shares from you from this love letter that he sent to all his girls. Fill it with his messages so that you'll be knowing the kind of actions that he's desirous of you to take. Mom, look at my observation here. The word heart here is leb or lebi. And it means more than a mental or emotional capacity. It's also encompassing your values. Your values. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, and verse 21, would you read that aloud with me? We can all do this. Guys, you can join the girls too. Let's read it together. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In the context, he's talking about heaven and earth. If you're thinking about keeping all your treasures, money being in view, things of great value as a treasure to you. But your focus is keeping it here on earth. He's really not suggesting that. He's wanting for you to think about and focus, because we know where our focus goes. And therefore, we will be thinking about heaven. That's where he wants all of us, especially this morning, moms, to have their treasure going. In Matthew 15, 18, he says, but what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. So think about this past week, something you may have said to someone that was less than nice. It was actually unkind. I know someone who did that. It was me. It doesn't bless me, especially when the Lord takes me back to my DPE and says, well, what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles that person. I had no business, and I really didn't mean what I said. It was just a hurtful, fleshly thing. So, Mom, what about you? Are you careful as to what you're saying to your kids? Are you careful? Are you blessing them? Or are you giving them a curse? In Matthew 15, verse 19, for out of the heart comes evil. I could stop just right there. Out of the heart. This is a fleshly thing. We are new creations in Christ Jesus when we come to faith in him. And as new creations, he goes on to tell us, the old things pass away, but not all those things. And new things have come, and new things are coming. But out of the heart comes evil thoughts. Murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. Moms, it's important to be very careful because oftentimes you're the primary one, not just mothers, females, but there are men that get the privilege of being in that position more than most dads. But I would share with you this. Kathy and I, this is over 30 years ago, we had a shepherd group. We used to have 9 shepherd groups, and we'd have 30, 35 people show up in our home every Friday night. And amongst those people who came to study the Word of God and to pray together and just share and deepen our friendships, there was one couple. And of that couple, there was a young man. And boy, did he like the talk. He was a salesman. And that's all I'm going to say in describing him. He's no longer here. But he liked to captivate the conversation around the Word of God. And it was very hard as the leader to enter in and to kind of shut him down. He was frustrating to me. And it's also frustrating to Kathy. So Kathy and I, on a Friday night before anyone's arrived, we've done all of our setup and so forth, but we're talking about our frustration. This man. What might I do tonight to be able to intercept him before he got going too long? But we were using terms describing our frustration. What we didn't notice is Ronnie. He's over here. And believe it or not, Mom, your kids, they're listening. They may not act like it. They may not own up to it. But they're listening. So that night, when this couple arrived, we greeted them. And Ronnie, just being innocent, walked up and said, "Why do you talk so much?" Kathy and I look at each other, beet red, embarrassed. We need to be careful, for out of the cart springs evil of all kinds, as you see here. The fact is, and here's your fill-in, Father God is far more interested in changing your mind than changing your circumstances. He wants us to change our thoughts because they will change our minds. In Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, what a lovely passage that the Holy Spirit laid on Paul to the Roman church. And he's going to do it once again to us here this morning. Paul says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers." Paul is urging. Paul is exhorting. The word picture here in the Greek grammar is that we see Paul standing before you, girls, since you're the focus. He's on his knees, this emissary of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's on his knees before you, Mom, Grandma, Stepmom, Auntie, and he is begging you. He's begging you. "I appeal to you, therefore," I'm going to say, "moms, by the mercies of God." Oikrimon is the Greek term here, and it's being rendered most often as compassion. "By the compassions of God, I am beseeching you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice." Are we listening, girls? When you go before the Lord in your DPE, of course, I'm making the assumption you all now, after these many months of talking about deep personal experiences with the Lord, as you go before Him in your DPE, you present yourself as a living sacrifice. Here I am, Lord. When I received you, I gave myself to you, not in part, but the whole. But sometimes we forget that. I know I do. And I have to repent from that. To present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. When you received the Lord Jesus Christ, when you went before God the Father and you responded to His grace alone, through faith in His Son alone, and you repented and you confessed your sin and you chose to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as such, your Lord, your Master, your boss, you became what He's asking for here, holy, holy to be set aside, consecrated for Him and Him alone. You are His daughter girls to be used by Him in the most appropriate way to glorify Him, to glorify Him. In the various roles He has allowed you to enter into or led you into, such as being a mom, He wants you to act to imitate Him in that role as a mom, as a grandmother, as an aunt or a stepmother. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. And since you've been born again, girls, you are acceptable to Him. If you've got guilt from shame in the past, please let it go. He has. He's never going to use it against you. What is past is past. He has forgiven you your past, your present, and your future, ladies. Embrace that. Do not beat yourself up over anything in the past. That's wrong. Jesus suffered already for it. Stop beating yourself up. It's taken care of. You may need to do some confessions from time to time, as I do, but nonetheless, please, understand, you're holy and you're acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. It is your spiritual worship. So when you come to Him in your DPE and you begin to talk to Him and you open the Word and let Him talk to you, you see, you are in the midst of worship because you have come and you have given Him your fullness. Don't be conformed to this world, moms. Don't be conformed to this world. What you see on those television programs, especially made for you, are they coming out of a Christian worldview or are they coming out of Satan's worldview? Because he's the one that has been allowed to take care of the world for now. Don't be conformed to this world. I mean, ladies, think about it. I mean, it's been troubling to me for many years. Because, ladies, you are so uniquely different, so wonderfully beautiful, created to be able to only be able to do what women can do. But our culture says, ladies, we want to dress you up and send you onto the mall looking like ladies of the night that Ron used to arrest. We've changed so much in our dress. Please, girls, dress as Christian women. Dress modestly. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't embrace the world's thinking. The world's thinking is saying that the killing of babies is okay. No, it's not. Read his word. The world says that men can marry men and women can marry women. That's not what he says. Let's not be conformed to the world. But it goes on and says, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Become more like our Heavenly Father in our thinking, and the more we embrace his thinking, then the more we will act like him. By the renewal of your mind. So how are we going to renew our mind? We're going to do that by being in the Word of God more often than we presently are. And yeah, I'm talking to those of us that spend a good deal of time listening to what he has to say. But the church needs to spend a lot more time listening to what he has to say. Because girls, your little son, your teenage son, your adult son has been listening. He's been watching. And so is your little girl and your teenage girl and your older girl who's now a mom too. They listen to you. Are they going to hear from God's inerrant, wonderful word through you? Or might it be what we see going on in the American culture? Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. This isn't in your notes, but I encourage you to write it down. It's the book of Colossians. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Here, the Holy Spirit points out through Paul to the Colossian church originally and now to us one more time. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of God, let the inspired word of God, the God-breathed out word, dwell in you richly, live in you, take up residence in you. We listening, Mom? Let his words dwell in you richly. Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, the wisdom of your Heavenly Father. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, these hymns aren't going to be from the Wesley brothers. They're not going to be by John Newton. These are hymns you make up, Mom. I have a wonderful wife who likes to hum a lot. She has a song in her heart, she keeps telling me. Girls, you can take the words from your DPE and you can make them into messages and music that you might want to sing to your newborn baby or even to your infants. My girls still remember songs that they and Kathy sang together as little ones, and it's so much fun to hear one or both my daughters or all three of them begin singing a song at a family event that I remember watching them as little girls with their mom singing. Take the words of our Lord and put them in these spiritual songs. Remember, the songs we sing on Sunday morning have nothing to do with simply being a song. They are musical prayers, our expression to our Lord. And to do so, he says here, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So change your thoughts. Change your minds, girls. In Colossians 3, verses 12 through 15, our Lord says, girls, put on then, like you dressed this morning. You put on something special to come to church in. But here he's talking about putting on the new person. The new person you became when you were saved. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, and girls, grasp that. Moms, I know that you can become depressed at times because of life and because of the way the children have been acting or things that have been said. Been there, understand, truly. But you've become a chosen one, and that should be important to you. You're not just merely a woman on the face of the earth among billions of others. You are a daughter of the Most High God. And I hope, you know, all the Kathys this morning understand that. I hope that the Cheryls, the Carols, the Vickies, the Sheilas all understand that. All of you moms, all of you stepmoms, every one of you grandmothers, aunties that are in Christ Jesus, you're a chosen one. And that becomes so oh-hum in the church today. Oh yeah, I'm chosen of God. I'm amazed he chose me. So is Kathy. A chosen one, holy and beloved. Put on your compassionate heart, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, bearing with those little tykes, bearing with those obnoxious teenagers, bearing with those young adult kids that already know it all. But they're going to hit a threshold and say, boy, Mom was right, if you were sharing with her or him the wisdom of God. And if one has a complaint against another, be forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. And above all, these put on agape. Put on that word, put on, not a word, put on the actions of that unconditional love to seek the other person's best and highest good at your continuing expense, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, Mom, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. So going back to Romans 12, verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. If you've been spending time with him, you've been appropriating his word into your life, you're going to pass these tests of life with flying colors. You'll not only discern the will of God, but what is good and acceptable and perfect. Father God's compassion has been described in detail in the first 11 chapters of the book of Romans, if you're interested, girls. The content of Paul's urging in this passage we looked at to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. We see again here in Romans chapter 6 and verse 13. He says, do not present your members to sin. Don't present your body to sin, girls. as instruments of unrighteousness. See, you don't have to eat that whole pound of chocolate. You can share it with the one drooling next to you. Paul is saying, do not continue to present or stop presenting your body to unrighteousness. Now, you know if you're involved in things that are considered by him to be unrighteous. You know. And you'll certainly find out more as you spend more time with him. But present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness. So if you know you're involved in something that he just disagrees with you participating in, demonstrate your love for him. Be obedient. Stop. A Christian's body, looking at your notes, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The believer is the sanctuary of God. You see how very valuable you are, Mom, in the home? How very valuable you are to your children, whether they accept it or not? You are a temple. You are the sanctuary of the third person of the Godhead. He lives in you. And we've been told in Scripture we need to have the Lord refresh himself in us on a daily basis. Where is the best time to do that? In a morning DPE. Ask him to be fresh and new. And as he's fresh and new, the fruit of the Spirit becomes fresh and new in us. We think about, I'm going to love him. I'm going to demonstrate through my life. I love him, and I'm going to love my neighbor as myself. People are going to see that there is joy in my life. I mean, I have to work on that. Staff comes in. Both of them say to me, good morning. And I will say, if anything, morning. It's hard for me to get the good out of there because I've been up the half of the night with my diabetes going to the little boy's room. Very tired, but nonetheless, we need to begin our day in a fresh way with the Lord, and he will freshen the fruit of that Spirit within us. In 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20, we see here the Holy Spirit pointing all this out to us through Paul. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? He gave you the Holy Spirit upon the day you were saved, or the night. You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. People will call this room a sanctuary. No, it's not. Now that you're here, it's a sanctuary because the Holy Spirit lives in you. But when you all vacate and it's locked up, it's what people call the worship center, but it's a room that's been dedicated to the Lord. But the sanctuary, you have been dispersed all over the valley and Simi Valley. The word bodies is mindful of the Old Testament sacrifices. It represents your totality, girls. Your totality, the totality of one's life and activities, of which your body is the vehicle of that expression. In contrast, the Old Testament sacrifice, you're a living sacrifice, girls. You're not a dead sacrifice. Christians are believer priests. Peter specifically called you girls royal priests. Royal. You're identified with the great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. that you can read about if you want to write it down in Hebrews chapter 7, verses 23 through 28, and 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. As believers, we are to be offering the totality of our lives as a sacrifice to our Heavenly Father. Mom, taking great care of your children is a massive, passionate sacrifice. I get it. It's a sacrifice to our Abba Father. And Mom, you want Jesus to take away all your problems. All your problems, pain, sorrow, suffering, sickness, and sadness. But he wants the work on you first, Mom. Even dads. Because transformation will happen in your life only when you're in the process of actively renewing your life through the reading and taking action with regard to the Word of God. Until then, it's going to be very hard. What is so important about what you learn, what you've learned this morning about managing your mind? Well, I'm going to give you three reasons next Sunday. Three reasons to manage your mind. The first one is manage your mind because your thoughts, well, they do something. I'll tell you next Sunday. So, is it a good Mother's Day so far? All right, let's bow our heads, shall we? Oh, Father, what a joy it is to be named in your book of life, to find ourselves in your family. One of your greatest gifts is our mother, the woman who won I miss my mom, who figures in our lives. Thank you for the unique and powerful ways they influence and shape us. We pray that mothers would feel the warmth of appreciation and love for the way they have given of themselves for us, their children. Moms are so unique. On days when the weight of being a mother feels like a heavy load, we ask you to carry mothers through with your power through the Holy Spirit. And if a husband is in the home, that they'll be sensitive and recognize where she is at that moment. Father, please give them grace. Grace to model for their children how you have been merciful to us. Help them to practice gratitude and show kindness and forgive quickly. Help them to be generous with their words of praise, their time and attention. And whatever may be the resources they've been provided, we rejoice with those who rejoice, those mothers who are pregnant or have welcomed a new baby or adopted a child or two or three or four or five or blended themselves into a family. We thank you for those mothers who have opened their home to foster children. And the woman who has served spiritually as a mom to others in the church or elsewhere, as I think about Mom Fisher, about this wonderful mom to my friends and how she was a mom to me. We praise you for the spiritual legacies of grandmothers who continue to pray for their families. We also weep with those who are giving themselves to trying to not grieve today for those who have lost a child or the relationship with an older child or those mothers who do not have godly mothers, those who have been delayed in becoming mothers, and all those mothers whose hearts are broken. Father, we lift them up to you. Please wrap your arms around them and give them your comfort. Lord, thank you for the good work you are doing in mothers, especially ours. When they are discouraged, please show them a glimpse of the fruit you are producing in their children through their sacrifice. Give them joy. Give them joy in their faith and bless them, not just today, this Sunday, Father, but each and every day. May they sense a blessing from you. Might they even know, whether the blessing is acting like it or not, that that child is a blessing. And I ask this morning, in your Son's name, Jesus, amen.